Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Laura, who is here to speak with us about recording and listening. Welcome, Laura.
Hey, Jen.
Hey. So as you well know, and actually probably likely almost everyone listening in also knows, recording and listening has really become, it's always longer than I think, in the last many number of years, really a foundational part of practice for all of us. And so we like to regularly invite someone on to Good News to talk about their experience of the practice, partly to get re-inspired and also to share ideas and steal from each other. So thanks for being with us this afternoon to do that.
Oh, I'm so excited. And it was one of the things that dropped in. It was like, gosh, there could be hours of conversation about the benefits of recording and listening.
It's so true.
It's such a huge huge piece of practice.
Yeah, it really is. So, you know, as I said, probably most folks on the call have a recording and listening practice, but some folks possibly not. So I thought maybe we'd start with just the basics and have you talk a little bit about what is recording and listening, and at least from your perspective, how it works in your own practice. What are kind of, you know, beginning sort of with the logistics of it? What is it?
Yeah. So, my first memory of it wasn't called recording and listening back then, but was of my first time at the There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat, and we were asked to bring a recording device, and we recorded reassurances.
Hang on one sec, Laura.
Oh, yeah.
I just realized you're absolutely right. That's a fantastic starting place. And I'm aware that we have several There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreats coming up. That's okay. We might want to not get too much into the details, the specifics, so that we don't give it away for a retreat.
Got it. I'll stop there.
That's okay. But in other words, what I think you're pointing at is that long before we called it recording and listening, being with the person and using a recording device to do that, kind of to be there, to be with ourselves, to reassure ourselves, has really always been a part of the practice that Sherry's taught.
Well, and that was the only piece that I was thinking, it's always been a part of practice, and now it's taken to such a level that it feels like a the image that dropped in for me later today was that it's like if we were going to go to the gym, and there's all these muscles of awareness practice, and that recording and listening is like the gym or the specific weight that we can use to train each muscle of awareness.
Oh, that's very good. That's a great image for it. Uh-huh.
And so, when I was like thinking about how has it impacted my life, I mean, in every single way, it's like no matter what this human being is being faced with in life, whether it's a challenge, something really hard, or something really inspiring and uplifting, recording and listening becomes the avenue that supports this human in having the life experience or getting what she needs around that life experience.
Oh, that's very good. So it's really a tool that can be used in a ton of different ways. And that it's both it really assists you when you're in a really hard time, and you know, there's whatever you need in that. And it's also just as useful when things are going great, and you know, because there's always support that we need on that side of things too, isn't there?
Well, yeah, it's the fun of like being able to live it again and again and again and again, versus just that maybe, you know, say I got whatever it is I was shooting for, which is great. That's exciting. But then to be able to record about it and listen to it and then have it available to me later at some time that when I maybe am having a hard time, I can tap right back into it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and there's a very specific that you just pointed at. So, I see something. Maybe I'm on retreat or, you know, I just had a reflective listening buddy's call or something that facilitated a really big insight. And to take the time to stop and record that. Because there's this sense, isn't it? You know, we always joke about, you know, when I'm disidentified, I've always been disidentified and I always will be, right? I mean, what's the problem?
Yes.
What? And then when I'm identified, I've always been identified and I always will be. You know, we forget the other perspective. So when we're in that expansive place, to be able to take a minute to stop and record what we're seeing, so exactly as you say, I can listen back to it and remember, right, it isn't always like this. There is that other larger perspective.
Well, I actually just had something happened this morning where I was completely identified in a place of, in a story that was definitely not pleasant and fun. And so I picked up the recorder, and I was going to do the two-handed exercise, but I was so identified with this content that I couldn't hear or I couldn't switch out of it. I was, whether I was recording or listening, I was in that identified place.
Uh-huh.
And so at the end of the listening, so I was listening to it, I was just in this, I was sitting in my chair, and on my recorder device, it actually will just keep playing recordings. And the gift of it was the next recorded that started playing was an I Love You recording. And the blessing of it was the willingness to listen to this I Love You recording, and it was a two and a half minute recording, and then it went to a next recording, which was another I Love You recording, but that was 30-something seconds long. Mm-hmm. And then the next recording was an I Got You recording, and so it was a total of about 5 minutes, and I listened, and all of a sudden, I wasn't identified anymore.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
And
isn't that so great? Uh-huh.
Yeah, and to me, there was the test, what I took from that was twofold. It was the blessing of being on the receiving end of having a recording and listening practice when I was needing it most, but I couldn't seem to be in that place to access the mentor in that moment.
Yep. Yes.
And so previous experiences allowed me to have the support I needed in the moment I needed it most.
I know, I'm right with you. And that's the amazing piece about it, isn't it? That, you know, that is a skill that we build over time, and it isn't always available to us. And I know you know that skill, you know, because you're actually part of the program of folks who's offering the training to people in recording and listening. And to get it that We're not alone, you know. We're not alone in this. We have Sangha, and the Sangha includes our recorder. Because there are now, for those of us who have been doing this a long time, we have hours and hours and hours and hours of archives of so much amazing material to listen to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, so when I started getting, quote, serious about recording and listening, I mean, I hated the sound of my own voice, quote, I hated the sound of my own voice, and I was not in a place of willingness around it to have a strong practice, but the beautiful thing about it is I had enough willingness to say yes to starting, and so I guess I want to make sure I say that to people, so anyone who's out there who's like, it's not for me. I don't like it. I don't want to do it. It's too hard. Whatever.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't work. And so so when I was asked about this, all these memories were dropping in about the process. And I can remember, my first recordings were really, I made a commitment to my Zen awareness coach to, do recording and listening. And so I would be driving to work and I would be like, oh yeah, I made a commitment. Okay. And so I'd pick up the recorder or I'd just push record and okay, I'm recording because I made a commitment to record and listen. That was it. That is how I started. And there was nothing inspirational. There was nothing beautiful. There was nothing, it was more about keeping the commitment to do it.
Yep.
And then one day coming to work, And I had all of that. I hate the sound of my own voice, and all of that stuff came up. And one day I was driving to work, and I listened to something. Mm-hmm. And I remember having the experience of, like, my heart softening. Like, oh, I care about this person.
Yeah.
And the miracles just began to happen because I kept showing up, not because it quote, worked in the beginning where I was feeling all transformed and happy and glowing about this whole recording and listening thing. In fact, it was the opposite. I was grumpy about it. I thought it was, you know, whatever. But I just kept showing up.
Yeah. Oh, I think that's so important. I'm so glad you said that. Because often, as when people have been recording and listening a while, they do come, you know, call into the radio show or whatever it is with glowing reports. And that's such a good point, that if I start out to do it and I'm not getting the results that I'm hearing all these other folks talk about, it would be easy to assume, well, I hate this. Something's wrong with me. I'm no good at this. This isn't working for me, or I hate that tool. It's not the right one for me. And to give up without, and what you're saying is, it wasn't that anything magical happened necessarily in the beginning. It was that you kept being willing to keep going and doing it.
Yeah, and Jen, the super important thing, and this brings tears to my eyes almost every time I talk about it, but what recording and listening has done for me is it has put the responsibility for taking responsibility for my own practice in my hands. And I know that that's why there was so much resistance to it, because I didn't have a life that was utterly hopeless and awful in the beginning. And so there was this layer of self-hate that was being hidden because I could talk to my partner and be temporarily soothed, or I could go to a therapist and be temporarily soothed, or I could even, you know, get on the radio show and get temporarily soothed. But I wasn't showing up and offering and tapping into the wisdom, love, and compassion that the mentor, right, could offer. So there was just, I mean, I'm so passionate about, like, I want everybody to do it. And I realized, like, for me, there had to be the willingness for me to want to do whatever was necessary to save this human being from whatever suffering she was in.
Yeah. Wow. That's so powerful. That's so powerful. And it does make me want to underline that there is a recording and listening trainers program, you know, for people who would like a little more assistance with recording and listening. Maybe they're, maybe they're just starting out, or maybe they've, like you said, made a decision, gosh, it's not for me, it's not working, or that sort of thing. So for anyone who wants some extra support with their recording and listening practice, there are coaches who are available to assist with that. Mm-hmm. What would be the easiest way for people to find that?
So that's a great question. I believe, I know there was talk of it being on the recording and listening website.
Okay.
So the www.recordingandlistening.org. But I am not sure if that is actually up and running yet.
What we do know is that if you email the guest master, that guest master can funnel anything anywhere it needs to go.
So, good point.
Yep. So information at livingcompassion.org, sending an email and asking about it would be a fine route to go.
Excellent.
So you're right, Laura, we could spend hours talking about this. Because I wanted to ask you, we're out of time, but we'll have to talk to other callers who call in today, because I'm sure, I know for me, I found it an invaluable tool yesterday in our day, International Day of No Self-Hate. It's almost impossible to pull that off, to have 24 hours of no self-hate without a recording and listening practice. So what a tool it is there. Yeah.
And the recording and listening website is just an abundance of tips, tools, things to try, things to play with, a little mini retreat you can give yourself. I mean, there's lots of different supports out there for people who want to play with it.
Yeah, and that's a good point. There's a whole website on recording and listening. Recordingandlistening.org, I believe.
Yes.
I just got word of the email address if people want particular assistance. It's rltrainer@livingcompassion.org. So just the letter R, the letter L, the word trainer, at livingcompassion.org. So we're going to have you on again, I'm afraid, Laura, because much.
Okay.
Coming soon.
Well, I would be happy. Yeah, I could go on and on. So thank you guys so much.
So take good care. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks,
this afternoon. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you to start the show.
Great. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Laura. And good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Jen, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Welcome, Jen.
Thanks, Michael.
Great to have you here.
Happy day after International Day of No Self-Hate.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. It was great.
Oh, so fun.
Yeah. Yes. And that was a great conversation you had with Laura. I've left very inspired. It's wonderful.
Yeah. I really appreciate that perspective of, you know, that's the thing, right? We hear someone talk about something and we think, wow, we project ourselves into that experience. We can see ourselves in that. And so we head off to do whatever it is. Okay, recording and listening. And if I don't have that experience that they're pointing at immediately, it's so easy for conditioning to talk to us about, well, forget that then. You know, that's not for me. And I just love that willingness to stay with something. Boy, that is everything in practice.
Yeah, it's huge. It's huge. I just loved her story of starting with basically, well, I hate this, but I made a commitment to somebody else.
Exactly.
And so I'm gonna
you know what I thought?
It.
When she said that is,
yeah.
Wouldn't you love to get your hands on that recording now and listen back to it? Because what I project is there would be so much love and admiration for that practitioner.
Wow. Yeah.
Who was willing to do that. You know, thank you. Thank you for making that recording. How outrageously much we would want to support her now.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's just... It's just amazing to see, in my own life, to see how far it's taken me. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
I have some announcements here, unless you want to jump in.
Yep.
Okay.
No, let's do announcements.
Okay. Join Sherry and Sangha in a new email class entitled Enneagram and Relationships, beginning May 13th. The class will focus on how suffering is created and maintained in our most challenging relationships and how awareness can help us move toward clarity, freedom, and authentic connection.
Mm-hmm. Very excited.
Yes, very fun. Mm-hmm. And the Jataka Tales Retreat is May 2nd through 7th in North Carolina. At retreat, we'll use the marvelous stories of the Buddha's incarnations to explore the antidotes to the three poisons, greed, hate, and delusion. This retreat with Sherry and Ashwini offers yoga, meditation, delicious meals, guidance with Sherry, and time to relax in the beautiful grounds of the sanctuary in the pines.
Can I say one quick thing about that, Michael? Which is
Please.
That, you know, that list of things in the retreat gives you a sense of what a beautifully balanced those sorts of retreats are that Sherry and Ashwini offer together. So there's, you know, yoga,
yes.
time for groups, time to meditate, time to be out in nature, amazing food. And just to underline what a rare opportunity it is to have one-on-one guidance with Sherry Huber. That is not to be missed.
Yes, it's true. It's true. It's invaluable.
Yeah.
And Jen, did you know that there really is nothing wrong with you?
I had heard the rumor, Michael.
And to do this compassionate and courageous work, finding that out for yourself, register now for the foundational There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat in North Carolina, which is June 30th through July 7th. This retreat is perfect for beginners and can be repeated any number of times.
Yeah, we had a really fun retreat a year or so ago in North Carolina of that retreat where we had a number of people who were repeating it, and it was fantastic. Just, wow, very, very powerful.
That's fun. That's fun. And a reminder that we are on Bamboozle number 4, Feeling Bad, assignment for week 1. And for these and all other practice opportunities, visit schedule.livingcompassion.org. And usual reminders to make guest show. To indicate your desire to talk with Jen today, press star 6 and then one, and a focus on one topic, please, and about 5 minutes is super duper helpful.
And if I may, Michael, I want to reiterate the invitation that was sent out with the assignment for April 18th, the International
Day of
Self-Hate. The invitation to report on how that went for people. You know, what did you see? How did it go? What did you come up against? What insights did you have? All that sort of thing. Here's what I noticed, I'll tell you. We'll give people a stall a little bit to give people time to consider that. but, boy, what I noticed was it takes, you know, a very focused commitment in order to tolerate zero self-hatred, because there are the obvious forms of self-hatred, but then there are all the other just sort of underground, pernicious yet subtle forms of it. And that it was amazing, what an amazing gift it is to be required to pay attention at that level. And what a fun practice to consider that it's a gift that we're giving to the guide. And that because we'll do for the love of others what we would not be willing to do for ourselves, for me at least, April 18th has come to have a real sense of giving this as a gift. That pointed attention is my gift on this day. And, of course, what happens at the end of the day is who receives the gift? Me.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for bringing us back to that. And I just love that, doing for the love of others what we wouldn't be doing to willing to do for ourselves.
Yeah.
It's great motivation.
And so that even this show, you know, today's show, is a dedication to Sherry, you know, in that sense of, you know, so we're focusing on the topic of no self-hate as a way of, you know, I think it's Sherry's teacher who talks about practice is a debt that can only be repaid with the same coin.
Yes.
And of course, it's an amazing gift because then it just keeps cycling back. So we feel so moved to give. We give with that same coin, and because that's a coin of gratitude, we receive so much from it, and and on it goes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, exactly. And as I've heard you say, continually in debt, or getting deeper in debt all the time.
Getting deeper in debt all the time. Desperately trying to give as much as we can. It's a good debt to be in.
It's a great debt to be in, yes.
So, if folks are willing,
okay,
that's what we'd love to focus on this afternoon.
Okay, great. Let's see who's here. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Maybe we'll
first
come
caller,
back
are you there?
Hello?
Oh, hello.
You're live.
Oh, hi. Hi. This is Song Ho calling.
Hey,
Sung-ho. Can you hear me? Oh, hi.
We can.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay, cool. I didn't hear the part where I was unmuted, so I wasn't sure if I was unmuted.
You indeed are. Yep.
Okay, great. Well, I'm calling to check in with everything, and I know I had called Sherry a few times on the show a couple months back about, like, starting a program out in Boston that I'd moved from California to attend, and then like starting the course and like running into people that I felt like didn't really share the value that I had, and just wasn't sure if this was for me and all sorts of things like that. And the advice was to kind of like stick it out and see what would go on. And so that's kind of like what I've done. And now it's been about a year of the program, not fully a year, but almost a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I'm like, I've continued on with practice, but definitely like, practice has gotten harder for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still doing the Zen awareness coaching, but
mm-hmm.
Now I'm at a point where I'm like, is this really for me still? And don't really feel like I'm connecting with people that I I don't know. Like, I have a lot of that right now, and it just kind of would be nice to have some guidance on all of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So checking back in after a while, and it sounds like practice is being more challenging. And would you say partly just simply because there's so much else going on in your life that it's challenging to prioritize being in a place of practice?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's for sure. And it kind of gets to be
So, Sungho, you're breaking up a little bit for us.
Oh, okay. Can you hear me now?
I can.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, but I was just saying, like, it's been both. It's been, like, ever since I moved here, I feel like there's just been, like, a barrage of self that I didn't realize was there. And
there's been a, say that again?
A barrage of self-hate that I didn't realize it was there.
Okay.
And,
yeah, that was
I don't know if what I'm doing right now, like, that's the thing. It's like, that's the question that I, I don't know if what I'm doing right now is for me. And, there's a lot of pressure from all sides and,
So it's perfect. Did you hear any of the intro of the show to us talking about the International Day of No Self-Hate?
I did, yeah.
Okay, perfect. Because what I wondered as you were laying it out and just having remembered some of the conversations you've had with Sherry on
right.
the radio show about it, is does
yeah.
it feel like you're able to approach the whole thing as a workshop? Or does it feel like in more recent times you kind of just got pulled into it being a content in your life, trying to decide is it right, is it not right?
I see. Well, I think it started off as a workshop, but just the constant pressure and the stress has kind of pushed me into turn it into like a serious content.
Yeah.
But I also, I don't know, like there's this kind of like angst inside me that I'm like, I don't want to do this anymore. And I actually like part of it was I think like just the lack of sunshine for the past several months I've been here, and I haven't really experienced that ever because I always grew up in California.
Mm-hmm.
And I fell into kind of a slight depression that I never thought I would experience. Well, I mean, I knew that it could come back at some point, but and I know I have like thoughts that are tend to have depressive tendencies, but I fell into a slight depression, and I just I just didn't. I don't know. Like, I remember telling my friend, I was like, the lock of sunshine, and maybe, you know, it's gonna get better, but I almost feel like maybe this depression is coming from like the lack of honesty with myself.
Well, here's the thing that occurs to me somehow as you're talking, and you can just try it on and see, that it seems to me, this is my experience at least, that, you know, we start out with whatever it is, and especially when we're in a solid place in practice, as I think you were, that's what you're describing anyway, when you started out, you know, just this sense of, there is no right, there is no wrong. It doesn't really, the content of our lives doesn't determine, you know, our life experience. We know that, right? We know that it's the focus of our attention. And so we set out to do something. Like in this case, you set out to go start this program, make a big move all the way across the country.
Right.
Start a program that's pretty high intensity and a pretty high intensity, you know, school and situation and all of that with the intention of this is a workshop. And at first, you know, seeing a lot about that, because anytime we're in a new situation, especially something like that, we're going to see all these things that we hadn't seen before. But then what tends to happen is that, especially if we're not surrounded by a ton of practice support, is we'll just get pulled into the culture, if you will, of wherever we are. And I'm guessing the culture of most of who you're around is not people doing this as a spiritual practice. Right? They're doing it as their profession, as their way of life, as their... But I would guess that for most of them, it's not a workshop in seeing how they're caused to suffer so that they can drop that and end suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
I don't know. Like, I understand that, but there's also a part of me that just feels like I just don't want to do another day of this.
Well, and so,
spiritual
here we
practice
are. We're not
spiritual practice. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That what it seems when I get in those places, what I realize is, aha, I've gotten pulled into the content. And that's fine. We all get pulled into the content. And so what needs to happen now is I just need to get back into the process. Now, what conditioning will try to do with that is to say, okay, so get back into the process, and then you have to stay where you are, living in this city, doing this thing, and learn how to be happy doing it. Well, no, because that's not the process. That's still the content. So in other words, is there a way to come back to practice being the central focus, and maybe you'll continue on with what you're doing, and maybe you won't, but that's immaterial. You said a minute ago that you realize that there's a barrage of self-hate that's been there that you haven't realized is there.
Right.
And the fact that you see that and the fact that you're calling the radio show tonight tells me that you're moving more in a direction of coming back to the workshop part of it, the process part of it, and beginning to wake up and not be so beholden by the content side of it. And so what's required of us in that place is to shift our priorities, right? And it's a huge leap of faith when we're in that place because, you know, a big piece of being sucked into the content is that we feel like the content matters and this decision is the right decision or that decision is the wrong decision. And so to be willing to come back to a place of surrounding ourselves with as much practice support as we can so that we can remember, aha, that's right. The only reason we're doing any of what we're doing, at least when spiritual practice is the central focus of our lives, is simply to see how it all works and to learn to be with ourselves in unconditional love and acceptance through all of it.
Right. I get that. I'm running into a lot with this kind of feeling.
You're breaking up for us a little bit again.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me okay now?
Yep. That's better.
Okay, yeah, so, and I've been kind of like trying to stop feeling with my awareness course too, and what's coming up right now is that, like, honestly, I'm starting to lose faith in practice.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel like it's working, and, I mean, I know it works, so it's not that, but it just, if there's just something, I almost feel like I called today, partially because I wanted, you know, stay in touch with practice, but because I just want to be given permission to not do this if I want to anymore.
Right.
And I can't for whatever do that for myself. So like somebody allowing me to say that for myself or saying it for me felt like it would be liberating.
Right.
And I don't know, like, there's a lot of things that I could do. Like, I'm not totally out of options. And,
and
I mean, also,
it,
yeah,
this
so.
Somehow?
Yeah, I am. But it's kind of gotten, like, I don't know, like, I've completely... Like, even, like, if I wasn't recording and listening, at least, like, the coaching call with my coach would feel like, okay, it's bringing me back to center, but it's not anymore, and I don't know why.
Well, and may I?
Because, yeah.
You know, it's a very tricky place that you're pointing at because it's a place, talk about self-hatred, where self-hate can really have a doorway in, but... If we can realize, you know, Laura used the gym analogy in the in the intro, in the Good News Update. But, you know, if we're not going to the gym in the same way we were going to the gym, or if we're not using the weights in the same committed way we were using the weights, or if we're not, you know, even, you know, you hear all those studies where people who go to the gym and read a book or, you know, are watching a thing on their phone don't get the mm-hmm. benefit of people who are lifting weights and actually paying attention as they're doing it. So then it can mm-hmm. feel like, well, gosh, I'm not losing weight or I'm not building muscle or whatever it is. But we have to actually be present for it in order for it to, quote, work. And so when we realize that we're in a place, we've been put, you know, we've been set up essentially by conditioning to be in a place where we're no longer allowed to practice in the way that we once were, it really can feel like practice isn't working. But if we can have the willingness and the great compassion for ourselves to stop at that point and say, wow, all that needs to happen here is I need to get back. I need to, and to do whatever it takes, you know, to have that be the highest priority, get myself to retreat, you know, get, talk to my coach about it, sign up for recording, reflective listening buddies, whatever it takes to get me back to no longer being trapped in there with that self-hatred that you're starting to notice.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I've tried, you know, because when I first started, I feel like I really gave it a shot with practice and everything. And it's not like, I wouldn't say I have like the strongest practice, but it's not like I had nothing to fall back on when I came here. Like I had a pretty solid practice from going on for myself. And I've done a lot of practice to kind of overcome this, but it's not, I mean, I don't know, like.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll bet you're not alone in that experience. And I would encourage you to continue to listen to the show, hear what you hear about folks, because hopefully what people will be reporting in about is what they were doing in order to practice to have 24 hours of no self-hatred, because that's essentially what you're talking about, isn't it? Is you're realizing the role that self-hate has played, both in ways that you've seen, but it sounds like in ways that you haven't seen, kind of under the radar screen. And, you know, what people do to assist themselves when they're in that situation. So to just listen in tonight, see what you hear about that, and also to listen back to archives, because I think if you listen with that in mind, you'll start to hear that that's a big theme of what people talk about.
Isn't self-hate also just making myself do something that I don't want to do? So,
absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely.
I feel like I'm just living bad, and I can't hear anything else because my entire day is essentially doing something that I'm not sure if I want to do.
I mean, gosh, from a practice perspective, to decide tomorrow that you want to do something else with your life? I mean, again, there's no, practice is never going to suggest that, yes, we should stay in a certain content or no, we shouldn't. It's
yeah.
never about the content in practice. It's always about the process. Right? So if it feels like I want to leave this situation and do something else, great. And what we do is we pay really close attention as we do whatever we do. That's the thing we can't lose sight of, that we always want to be paying attention. Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah, I think so. I just don't know. So, I mean, my plan right now is to at least finish out the semester because, I mean, I'm likely going to get pretty decent grades at this point, and withdrawing is going to look worse than just continuing out with the course. And there's really, like, only a couple weeks left, so I'm kind of, like, trying not to think about all this until, you know, that's done.
Yep.
And then afterwards I'll have a break, but I don't know. I just...
And
like,
before we move on, which is that, are you following along with the Big Bamboozle?
No, I don't know.
The reason I ask is that there's a section in there that is just it's written, I was going to say it's written for you, but really it's written for all of us on duality. Go back and read that section. It is brilliant. The practices
okay.
that it gives us to work with exactly the bind mm-hmm. that conditioning has you in right now, I think could be really, really helpful for you.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I'll give it a shot and I'll let you know. But honestly, I feel like I'm really at a point where I'm like, yeah, no, this. I mean, it's worked for me before, but I don't know if it's working for me now, and I'm starting to lose
Sung-ho,
a lot of faith.
Before we hang up, I just want to say one thing, so you're very, very clear. There is nothing in practice that would suggest that you need to stay in a situation for any reason. And from the perspective of practice, there's nothing more important than you being with Sung-ho in unconditional love as she goes through this difficult thing. So that no matter what happens, no matter what decision she makes, no matter what direction her life goes in, that you get to be the presence for her who loves and cares for her no matter what. And then report back and let us know, will you?
Sure. I'll do my best.
All right. Yeah, that's all we have. Yep.
Okay, thanks.
Very good. Thanks for calling.
Okay, thank you.
Good
Bye.
Night.
Night.
Thanks for joining us, Sung-ho. And, a difficult places, Jen. It's challenging.
Wow. And thank God we have Sangha, isn't it?
Yes. Yes.
Yep.
Yes. So we don't have to go through it alone.
So we don't have to go through it alone, and so that we can hear ourselves and that we can know, well, you know, been there, had that, you know, I mean, all of us have been there and back again, right? We've seen it and then we forget.
Yes.
And then we've seen it and then we forget. And then we see it and then we forget. Yep.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, it's just that place that Laura was talking about of sometimes it's just being willing to walk the steps. And it doesn't, quote, feel like it's working. But at least in my experience, boy, I always look back and think, wow, the entire time practice was happening there.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Wow.
Yeah.
Jen, we're going to hear from our coaches program, and then we'll be right back.
Great.
The practice theme for this year is Anjali, emptying your teacup. As the Zen story teaches, when we're full of ego's preferences, opinions, likes and dislikes, there is no room for the guidance and clarity of awareness. Through weekly coaching, regular commitments, and the practice of recording and listening, we train to empty our teacup and be open to life. Zen awareness coaches are trained by Sherry Huber to offer individual coaching about life issues and awareness practice in general. We hear from new folks and old-timers alike that awareness coaching provides the support they need to deepen their practice. And since coaches donate a percentage of their fees, getting a coach assists in supporting practice. To request a Zen Awareness Coach, go to livingcompassion.org, click on the pink lotus, then Programs to find Zen Awareness Coaches. Make 2016 the year of emptying your teacup and having the life your heart desires.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have another caller, Jen.
Great.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Jen and Michael, this is Sherry in San Francisco.
Hey, Sherry.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Hi. Wow, that was a really powerful conversation, and you know, it just reminded me of something that I kept sort of find myself saying yesterday during, you know, our celebration of the Day of No Self-Hate, which was, you know, the Day of No Self-Hate doesn't mean that conditioning isn't going to try its best.
Oh,
you know, it was kicking up its... right. Like, it was just kicking up a storm, you know. Hated that was the day. And I just loved, and you know, something you just said that I, you know, all day long found myself saying was just practice. Just practice practice, you know, keep coming back to the breath. I did, you know, also, I love what you said, Jen, because it was also something I recorded about yesterday, which was we will do for the love of others what we won't do for ourselves. And the same thing for me. Like, I mean, I've been given so much by the guide in this practice, and I wanted to truly do it as a gift.
Yes. Oh, don't you love that? It just gives me goosebumps there you say it. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was so, it was such a wonderful thing to be asked to do as a gift to someone.
Huh. Yeah. Wow, to be invited to give that gift. Yeah.
Yes. And I think, you know, just recently, I can't remember where it was, but just recently I heard the guide saying, you know, people are always wanting to give gifts to the guide, to the monastery, right? Like, we're all like, you know, what can I want to give something. And, of course, right, what is the one gift that would be the very best that we could possibly give is no self-hate.
You know, Sherry, that is brilliant on so many levels. I just really am seeing it as you say that, because when you said, you know, I've heard Sherry talk about how when you give something like the gift of practice, which, of course, it's almost funny to say that because you can't give that gift without someone receiving it, right? So you come on the seat, and it feels like, oh, my gosh, the facilitator, wow, Sherry is amazing. She gave me this, and she gave me this, and she gave me this. But I think, of course, what she would say is she's simply up there mirroring what's going on with us. And so the gift is only given in the receiving, right?
Right.
And then so we feel so grateful because what's happened is we've gotten a glimpse of our own authenticity, and nothing is more deeply satisfying than that. And so then there's this sense of, oh, my gosh, I got to give something, which ironically can put the focus right back on the I, right? The conditioning. So
yes.
The gift of no self-hatred is the most generous lack of identity gift we could give.
I know, and it's so beautiful as you're saying it. I just, you know, I often use the term house of mirrors in a way like when conditioning's got me bamboozled. But right now I'm seeing it like this house of beautiful mirrors where, like, everything just keeps getting reflected, you know, this beautiful experience.
Yeah.
Like you're saying, the beautiful experience of authenticity, it just keeps getting, like, mirrored back, and there's no...
Right.
We don't even know who's giving or who's receiving.
Right.
It's right.
That image of two mirrors in front of each other where it just goes into infinity, right?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And also, you know, the piece that I was recording about yesterday also, you know, was really that piece of that there's nothing personal about any of it, right? There's nothing personal about when conditioning is really battering me, and sometimes, you know, when I'm really falling for it.
Yeah.
And there's nothing personal about this beautiful day of practicing no self-hate, because it's such a gift. You know, it's not even that it's personal, like, oh, this is what I want to give the guide. It's like,
right,
this is what life is giving life.
Yes. Well put. Yes, exactly. Exactly. And your point that it doesn't mean that self-hatred goes away is such a critical point, right? That, in fact, it ramps up, and that what that allows us to do is to practice using that muscle that we've received the gift of knowing how to train.
Yes. Yes. And, in fact, my experience, like, I was so cranky yesterday. I don't even know why, but I was so cranky. But I was like, okay, I'm just going to listen to random recordings for, you know, I think I had like an hour between calls or something. I was like, I'm just going to listen to random recordings. And, you know, not knowing full well that it wasn't like that's going to make me feel better or that's the point,
right,
but because that's what I know to do. Like you're saying, like that was just the thing to do to practice.
Yeah, exactly like Laura started us out with, right? So, you know, I'm recording and listening, and it reminds me of what Sungho was talking about, too. You know, I'm feeling bad, right? Something's going on. I'm identified in some way, and so I record and listen. Well, that's, quote, not working, right?
Right.
But first of all, how do we even know that? Is that even true? I mean, there's so many layers to it. But because we're practicing, there's the willingness to listen. And Laura described it, and it's exactly what you're saying, too. Well, I'm just going to listen. And that's where the magic happens.
Right, and sometimes that magic doesn't, you know, it's not like this, like, if-then, you know, which I know when I first started recording and listening, that was often how I was going into it. Like, I want to feel better.
Where's my feel better?
Where's my feel better, you know, track?
Yeah.
But now I really, you know, and it is true, actually. I didn't even get this until we started having this conversation. But today, something dropped in that I heard yesterday. Like, you know, quote unquote, out of the blue, right? But it wasn't out of the blue. It's that I had listened to it yesterday. But how that can happen sometimes even weeks or months later.
Yeah, to realize that awareness, presence, is taking it all in. We don't have to do anything.
Yeah. And I think so much of it, like, you know, I really so appreciated the previous conversation for the fact of how many times, you know, that through the years, like, it's like hanging on by our fingernails, really, and just trusting, you know, really just having that faith. Is such a part of it.
It is.
Like what you said, and I feel like that was something that yesterday I really, really tried to practice hard, was just staying with myself. It doesn't have to be any kind of particular day. It doesn't have to be this, you know, skipping down the street.
Right.
But I need to just stay here with myself, because that's what I'm committed to.
You know, that's another essential point, is that it's easy to stay with ourselves when I'm feeling all sparkly and expansive.
Right.
These great insights, and I love everything, and I can stay with myself in that. But when it feels like I'm slogging through, and I don't know, and this doesn't feel like it's working, and to be willing to stay with myself, to stay here, to hold that in unconditional love, to not have any standard that's wrong and that I need to do something to change that is so revolutionary.
Yeah, well, just as you were saying, I could feel it as you were saying it, you know, that it is revolutionary.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the thing that I think that, you know, one of the many things I love the best about Sangha is that we get to mirror that for each other all the time. We're not all sparkling and, you know, skipping at the same time, which is great.
It is great. Yep. Yeah, there's always someone sparkling, and there's always someone slogging through.
Right.
Yep.
Which the last thing I'll say before I go, so other people get on, but that just brought me right back to that beautiful image that we've used so much that I love of the flock of birds, right? And it's like we don't always have to be at that point of the V. You know, we can be the very last one, you know, doing our very best to keep flapping the wings. And it's all so necessary.
It is, and you know what? I saw when you said that, Sherry, is it's all a gift. Because when we're full of energy, it's so much fun to be at the front of the V. And it's also fun to be at the front of the V knowing that you're making it easier for the people at the back. So there's a way in which every position is a gift.
Wow, Jen. I've never seen it that way, and that is so beautiful. If we were all at the front of the V,
we wouldn't be a V. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Well, thank you for letting me. I'm so glad to participate. And
thank you, Sherry.
It's good to talk to you. Deepka Show.
So fun. Deepka Show. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Sherry. That was a very fun conversation, and I feel pulled right along in the V, so that's great.
Me too.
And we have another caller here, Jen.
Great.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Jen, it's Jill in Brooklyn.
Hey, Jill.
Hey, Jen.
How's No Self-Hate in New York?
I know, it was such a great, it was just great to hear about the day and get the prompts yesterday and just be reminded, and I mean, I just, what I love about this practice is that it is really built for us people who are in the world. Like it's these are huge services that are done to, for us who are out here practicing, because, you know, like has been said, it's, you know, we get hooked and then we practice anyway, and then eventually we hit something where it's like, oh, okay, I'm free.
Yeah. And you know what, Jill? You just made an essential point that I think we've danced around a bit tonight but haven't hit directly, which is that all of it's essential. Because
mm-hmm.
when we hit those difficult things and then we're willing to keep going and we come through the other side, we realize I couldn't have skipped that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe right now
right.
I could have. I could have turned on the television. I could have whatever
right.
to postpone it. But sooner or later, that needed to happen. I needed to go through that. Yeah,
exactly. And, you know, this has been such a great call for me. And, you know, one of the reasons I called in, and a couple of reasons, but one is I just had one of those days where I was, like, literally, you know, in bliss. And then I, you know, later in the day, I just got really pulled into just a very painful story that actually was taken over. And I don't think I've ever had such a range in one day before. Like, it was very intense. In fact, when I got back to my house, I was so overtaken with anger that I did something I've never done, which is just take a pillow and I, like, you know, basically beat the crap out of it. And I was just kind of astounded that this morning I was really, I don't know, I could feel the moment, which, you know, it was a really, I just felt miraculous. Like, I'm here. I'm in the moment. It felt like every cell of me was. And then later in the day to be so overcome with something. And again, I like what you were saying, I don't really know what that is. There's nothing wrong with that, but it just felt like a very dramatic or extreme sort of cycle. And so I was like, okay, well, you know, oftentimes when I call in, it doesn't feel like I have a lot of content, but I was like, wow, this is something, like, wow.
This got my attention.
Wow. You know,
and maybe not a coincidence, huh? That
both
of those things happened in one day.
Exactly, yeah. I was thinking that throughout the call, too, that, you know, people have mentioned or touched upon that sort of thing where there's a big opening and then conditioning can come in and really take that energy and, you know, start to use it for its own nefarious dealings. And
you know, the way you describe it, Jill, I mean, that experience of, like, every single cell being here,
mm-hmm.
you're not used to that. That's a lot of energy.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Right? Because, I mean, you hear all those things about how, I can't remember the specifics of it, but, you know, there's enough energy in a human body to blow up how many cities, you know, that kind
right.
of thing.
Right.
And how that, I mean, if you get it that we are the universe, right,
mm.
all of everything is moving through us,
mm.
to suddenly come to a place where you're that present, that's a heck of a lot of energy. And and we're not used to being with, or you could even say being, that much energy.
Mm.
And so, you know, what are some of the things we're more used to when there's that much energy? You know, rage or whatever it is.
Mm.
Mm. So I just had that image go through as you were talking about, you know, in both cases, it sounds like a heck of a lot of energy.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I had that experience and then I had to get on the subway and go to a doctor's appointment. And so then I had to wait in a waiting room for, I think, an hour before she came. And so there was a lot of, so I had this very high, I mean, I didn't really experience that, being present as high energy, but I bet that that's right. And so then I'm in this very small, contained, you know, thing, and then I got funneled back up to the office, and then again I'm in these small rooms, and then it just really, I mean, in the waiting room at the doctor's office, I was very agitated, and I was pacing around, and so It was, yeah, so I think for me, you know, I'm very excited to learn how, what to do when all of that energy comes, and then I'm like, when this, like, very contained, you know, I can't run around. So how to move the energy around in a way that is not where conditioning can't get it seems to me like a very appealing, adventure.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the one that comes up for me as you were talking is that place where Sherry talks about sparkling.
Mm-hmm.
Twinkling.
Yes.
She uses for it. Yeah. Yeah. So that place where it happens a lot for folks at the end of retreat, right? Because retreat creates an enormous amount of energy. And the thing about the retreat setting is that the energy is engaged in a sense, right? It's not that we're running around doing jumping jacks necessarily, but it's such an environment of expanded awareness, of expanded energy, that there's a way in which that energy is really stewarded in the retreat environment, and often people don't realize until they've left, and I just had that sense of, you know, being in that waiting room, you know, leaving the monastery and, like, whatever, getting on public transport or getting on an airplane or just being back in your regular life or in your car, and just that sense of, like, whoa, now what am I going to do with all this energy?
Yeah.
And it truly is a practice to be able to be with it without needing to dissipate it in some way. And, you know, then often conditioning can turn that into a, like, oh, okay, so the bad thing is to dissipate it. The good thing is to not dissipate it.
But
to be really compassionate with ourselves, I mean, that's an exciting place, right?
Mm-hmm.
To suddenly realize, wow, there's a lot of energy that's becoming available to me, likely because it's not being siphoned off in self-hatred.
Mm-hmm.
And so to be willing to be with ourselves in that process of learning, how can I be with it without it being diverted into, you know, maybe emotion that doesn't serve me so well or whatever it might be. But that's a process, right? And we learn that over time. And so in the meantime, you know, maybe I do go out and hit balls at the batting cage, or I do use my pillow or whatever it is, because there's nothing wrong with moving the energy. Right.
Yeah, and it felt really, I mean, in the waiting room thing, you know, that's a, you know, I always, and I think I said, I don't know if I said this before, but, you know, how I experience things is, like, it feels like socks in the dryer. And so sometimes a sock will come up, and then sometimes the dryer is moving very quickly. And so, it's, you know, I can sort of click through a lot of different feelings, emotions, and I'm just with all of that. But sometimes one gets stuck, you know. And so I think when I've been in the waiting room in the past, like, that irritation about having to wait is one of the socks that comes in around, but this is the first time that it really got stuck. And it, like, and all of the energy that had come earlier, like, it just fed right into it. And I, you know, I'm doing recording and listening in the waiting room. I'm, like, doing yoga poses, like, I'm pacing around. Like, I was, you know, I was willing to try some things too, but it just really, really, really got stuck. And then it was sort of a day. Yeah, it was just such a crazy day. Like, I felt like I was really not in the zone, but I was, things seemed effortless, even though I was high, and I had all these big meetings, and the super big people are in town, and it kind of all flowed, but I still felt like, yeah, there was that waiting room energy, that irritation was, like, still sort of roiling. I don't know, it was just a very rich day.
Yeah, it sounds like it. You know, the one that keeps coming up from Agility Talk is that the way is easy for those who have no preferences.
What
would it be like if
Isn't
the whole
that
day
nice?
Was seen through that lens of, like, wow.
yeah, isn't that lovely?
Right or wrong or good or bad. Wow, all these different experiences. Amazing.
Yeah, that's really wonderful, because when you said that, what dropped into was a lot of what was churning the conditioning was the sense of urgency that, like, okay, I'm supposed to be here. You know, it was just that I had some meetings and everything was supposed to line up in a certain way in order for me to have this appointment in the morning and blah, blah, blah. And then when that didn't happen, like, that seemed like a very easy content thing for conditioning to sort of get pumped up about. And there was all that available energy there.
Yeah.
But that sounds so lovely is to just have the no preferences, like, okay, so if I'm late for the meeting, you know, who cares? Like,
right.
I mean, it's not, this is not life or death. No one's going to shoot me. You know, it's like.
Right. Now I'm in bliss. Now I'm completely beating up my pillow. Now I'm in the waiting room. Now I'm.
Yeah. Oh, yes, yes, I see. Yes, yes. So being with this person as they're clicking through those experiences. Yes,
yeah, she's
yes,
going
yes.
through all of
them. I see.
Kind of the theme for tonight, isn't it?
Yeah.
Being with ourselves through all of it, which is the practice of no self-hate.
It is very true. It is very true that nothing that we do in any way makes us deserve something like self-hate at all.
It's just
all right.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you,
chatting. Paul. Take care. Okay. Bye.
Take good care.
Thanks for joining us, Jill. And Jen, we're about 4 minutes to the hour. What would you like to do?
Do one short one.
Okay, great. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh my, I didn't expect to get on at all. This is Zoe from New Jersey.
Hey, Zoe. How was your
day?
No self-hate.
Well, you know what? It was kind of similar to what we just heard about, so I thought that was kind of perfect. But, it started out really wonderfully, and then it kind of self-hate, I think, took over pretty much.
Uh-huh.
And it ended in sort of a lot of disappointment, and, which I didn't want to share. I just didn't think I was going to get on.
And here's the critical question. And how have you been with Zoe as that all happened?
Well,
Or I could even say, what occurs to you now as we're talking in this conversation of how you could be with Zoe through all that?
You know, I credit my awareness coach for, I kind of put all that in an email.
Very good.
So I have already gotten some feedback about my day yesterday, which has been really helpful. And I'm trying not to come to any conclusions. What just occurred to me, in fact, as I was on the call, I made a reminder on my phone that says this is practice.
Yes, good for you.
Because that's sort of what was coming up around listening to that just now was, that it is all practice, and
it
so
is all practice, and that practice of everything that happens in the day being something to practice with, and then you have the willingness to write into your coach about it, to get guidance about it, and then you called the radio show tonight about it. I mean, it's just perfect, isn't it? That's really all we need. It's why the very first book that came out was The Key, and the name of the key is Willingness. That was the first book that Sherry put out in practice, and we can see why.
Yeah.
Mhm. Yeah, because, you know, there's such a sense, of course, the first thing that conditioning does when we start to hear about the possibility of no self-hate is it comes roaring in to say, okay, I got it. Self-hate is bad. No, from now on, there's going to be no self-hate, which, of course, is just the setup, right? But the willingness to have everything that goes on for us in our lives, you know, we're sentient beings with a whole array of experiences, to have all of that be the material of what we practice with as we learn to live a life beyond self-hatred, it's just perfect.
No. I mean, I feel like maybe there's resistance to to actually hearing what you're saying, like that's trying to get in the way. And things occur to me to say, and then I'd look at the clock, and I see that like it's pretty
6 o'clock.
It's for
well,
you.
Then,
so.
Let me ask you this, Zoe: where's the resistance? Is it you?
Well, I know what the right answer to that question is.
And what's the right answer?
The right answer is that it's not me.
Because it isn't, is it? Now, does that mean you don't experience it? Does that mean you don't feel it? Does it mean that we don't get identified with it? No. But is it who you really are? No way. Because you wouldn't be calling into the radio show tonight if you didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's the thing we got to get. That's the thing that just changes everything. Oh, there's resistance again. Yep. Not believing that. Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, all right, well, you have your homework, right? You're going to practice that?
Yeah. And yeah, I'm glad I was unexpectedly joining the call.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you.
Life's infinite wisdom calls us forward when we need to be called forward, doesn't it?
Yep.
Good.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Zoe.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Zoe. A lot of powerful practice going on out there, isn't it, Jen?
It is, Michael. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's an amazing legacy that we've been offered. The practice
yes.
of going beyond self-hatred. The fact that we can see it, and
yes.
the fact that we have tools to go beyond it is a miracle.
It is a miracle, and I love how you said tonight that we do have to see it all.
Mm-hmm.
It's all there for us to see and to be with and then move beyond.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, as you say that, it occurs to me that, the gift that we've received of the work of going beyond self-hate came from someone who had the willingness to experience head-on a great deal of self-hatred.
Yeah, exactly. And so that becomes our role model, and then we become the role model, and
exactly.
then, yeah, and then it just moves forward in that beautiful way.
Right. So important for us to remember that we're going to encounter a lot of self-hatred along the way as we're transitioning.
Yes.
As we're learning to let it go. Yeah.
That's why we're holding hands and stand together.
That's why we're holding hands. Yep.
Thank you so much, Jen. It was a pleasure and privilege to have you here with us tonight.
Thank you, Michael.
Okay. Talk to you later.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.